Well, listen, we're starting a new series here today called The Great Rescue. The Great Rescue. This is going to lead us all the way up to Christmas. And, you know, there's something interesting that happens when we talk about rescues or when we hear about rescues. Like something within our souls gets really excited when we hear about somebody being rescued. I wonder if you knew who this picture right here. Do you got anybody know who that is? Anybody remember that? Baby Jessica. We got some people. This was back in 1984, I think. She fell into the well, and they couldn't get her out. But luckily, they developed a plan to get baby Jessica out. What are you looking at? Oh, and the guy just happens to have the Great Rescue shirt on. Now I put that on there. See, you'll see here. Do you guys know what this is here? Do you guys know what this is? Apollo 13. So they were having issues and they didn't have enough to get back to Earth. And the Great Rescue happened down on in Houston there at the control centers to find out a way to get them back home safe, to have conserve enough fuel and energy to get back. That was an incredible rescue, right? Some of you may remember this just a few short years ago. There's a movie about it, Captain Phillips. He was captured by the Somali pirates. And they had him in that little red thing there. The movie's incredible. But, you know, our government was able to get him out. Unfortunately, they had to use deadly force to do so. But they got him out safe and sound. That captured all of our attention. Now, here's the funny thing. You may remember this, too. This is back in the day. Anybody remember that? Was that 10 or 11 years ago? The Chile miners. There's 33 of them that were buried underground. They found a way to dig down and get them. So when we hear these stories, I mean, something happens to us, right? We get excited. There's something about hearing about, I mean, baby Jessica in the well. Let's be honest. It's like we didn't know her. No one knew her. But the story captivated you. Are they going to get her out? They got her out. And Hollywood knows this too, don't they? They know that we love good rescue stories. How many of you know this movie? Come on. Taken. Yeah, Liam Neeson. So he's sitting there, and what does he say on the phone? He hears his daughter get captured, and he says, "I will hunt you down. I will find you, and I will kill you." I'm like, yes, get him! You know? And he does. If you've seen the movie, it's pretty impressive. Hollywood knows this. They know that this is how it is. And I think the reason why is because for us as humans, there's something birthed inside of us that wants there to be a rescue. There wants to be a rescue. There wants a hero. We want a hero, even when things are terrible and there looks like there's no end in sight. We love seeing somebody be heroed. It gives us hope for our own rescue. It gives us hope for a hero. So many times, you know, we get into this Christmas season. You're probably wondering, how does this relate? We go through and we do the shopping. We get the Christmas lights. We put up the tree. We do all this stuff. We get gifts, we give gifts, you know, we eat a lot on Christmas Day. We do all, yes, Bucky's like, yes, me too. These things are incredible. And it's fun. We take our kids to go see the big fat guy and everything's great. But I feel like we miss the point that this is the greatest rescue of all time. Christmas is the greatest rescue mission of all time. And we get to celebrate it every year in remembering. Nothing will top it. Nobody is going to save us like God has saved us. That fat man can't even save his waistline, if you know what I'm saying. And we put so much emphasis on that, but we just need to sit back and remember. And that's what we're going to do for the next 5 weeks. We're going to look, or the next five times we meet together with Christmas Eve included, we're going to look at that. Now listen, there are five things that every great rescue has in common. Five things that every great rescue has in common. We're going to go over these things together leading up to Christmas and on Christmas Eve. The first thing is a great plan. There's a great plan that comes into it. Next thing would be the right people. You know, you have special ops. You have all those types of people. We're going to get into that. Pastor Jeff's going to talk about that next week. We're going to talk about innovative methods. You know, the way they do things aren't what you would think. Like, most of us just want to go and kick down a door and get it done. But there's innovative methods. There's perfect timing. There's the perfect timing. And lastly, flawless execution. So rather than thinking about the hustle and the bustle of the Christmas season, let's join together in this time. Let's commit to being with each other during this Christmas time, and let's get into the great rescue. Now, what I want to talk to you about today is that every great rescue has a great plan. Every great rescue has a great plan. Yesterday, I went grocery shopping for my wife. That's because I'm trying to be a loving husband and serve her and do those types of things. Now, I don't know how many of you guys like shopping, but if you do, you're messed up. I hate it. I hate it with a passion. I absolutely hate shopping, but I do so because my wife, it gives her a break and allows her to relax. And I always take one kid, not two. I'm not crazy. I take one kid. And yesterday I took Adeline. Now, guess what my wife gave me before I left? A list. Why? Because I needed a game plan. Now, most of the time she puts on there, she'll put, here's what you have to get from Aldi, here's what you have to get from Tops, okay? She puts it on there. Yesterday she didn't, so the plan went awry, okay? I'm like, I'm going to do everything I can to get everything I can at Aldi, because first of all, it's cheap, and I'll save money, and second of all, I don't want to go to another store. Of course, they didn't have everything. So then, you know, the whole plan's ruined, okay? But the point is that a great rescue, even a great shopping experience, if you went out on Black Friday, is you're going to have a good plan. You're going to know the stores you're going to. You're going to have it all together. How many of you guys remember, I want to show you this right now. How many, anybody know what this movie's from? Oh, 10 points. Home Alone. Yes. Who said it? Who knew it? Yes, Home Alone. This is, if you remember Home Alone, it's a great, one of the best Christmas stories. You know, Macaulay Culkin plays Kevin McAllister. He's left at home, and his parents have, they're gone. They went on vacation, you know, Kevin, and they left him. And now there's Harry and Lloyd who want to break into his house and take all of his things. And he knows they're coming. In fact, the famous words is, when they come back, I'll be ready. And at one point he says, this is my house. I have to protect it. And this is the battle plan that Kevin McAllister came up with for all the booby traps that led to the demise. If you haven't seen it, sorry, spoiler alert. It's been out for 20-something years, so you should see it. So you got the heavy cans, you got the tar, you got the ice, the fire, the glue, the feathers. The heavy cans, oh, right here is red hot. That's the door handle that he made really red hot. I saw a thing on Mythbusters. None of this could really happen, but for sake of our conversation, it's a great plan, right? He's rescuing his house. Now, this is what I want to show you here. This is the miners that we talked about earlier. This is their game plan of how they did it. So it's hard to see, but I'll show you. Here's the entrance at the top, and this is the way that they would come up and down, right? Well, they're trapped down here on the bottom. You see that? But this is where the area collapses. So here's the stages. Number one, drilling a borehole. They have to go all the way down with, I don't even know how to say that, pneumatic hammer, is that right? That throws the earth, it goes down to the surface. Now, next thing they got to do, number two, is increasing in diameter. They have to make it a little bit wider. Number three, they have to send down two volunteers. Who would like to be that? If you have claustrophobia, this is not for you. Do not do this. They had a mine specialist and a military doctor. Oh, good luck. And then number four, they're pulling up the miners one by one to the surface to rescue them. That was a well thought out plan. That wasn't like, hey, we'll just dig a hole and hope for the best. They had a well thought out plan. Now, much like that, Christmas is the same way. And I want to show you how this works. So we all have a great plan. Look at this in Ephesians. If you have your Bibles, you can look there. If not, you can read with me on the screen. Even before he made the world, everybody say before.
Before.
Before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. That's before the world was, okay? God decided in advance, say it in advance.
In advance.
Woo! To adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So even before the world began, God had a plan. Even before, it was birthed, it was inside of his heart that he loved us and he wanted us to be with him. So he had a game plan from before the world to bring us and to adopt us into his family. And how? By bringing Jesus, God in the flesh, here with us to ultimately die and then be resurrected from the dead for our sins. Amen? Come on, that's good. That's a good game plan, right? That's a good game plan. And it wasn't like he's like, hey, Jesus, what are you doing? You busy? Oh, you think you could go down there as a baby and then, you know, not be able to talk and poop your pants? You think you could do that for me? Oh, and by the way, could you die later on for me? It's not like that. They knew. God knew. God, in his love for us, knew that he was going to rescue us one way or another, and he had a plan. This is the greatest mission plan, rescue plan of ever that could have happened. Now, we can also see it in Genesis. I gave it to you. This is in the Amplified version, Genesis 3. It says, I will put enmity, which is open hostility, between you and the woman. Now, he's talking to the serpent. So he's talking to Satan. He's like, I will make things bad between you. We can agree that that's true. And between your seed, offspring, and her seed, he shall fatally bruise your head. Now, who's he? No, he shall fatally bruise your head. That's Jesus. And you shall only bruise his heel. Jesus is being referred to in Genesis. Guys, that's big. That's big time, right? We can see the game plan right here. You're going to, listen, he's going to bruise your head, meaning he's going to crush your head. And you're only going to get his heel, meaning the death on the cross. That's all you're going to get. And he will win. God had this planned out all the way back in Genesis. He was telling the serpent, it's happening. It's game time. I have a plan for this. See, that to me shows me a ton of things. But the best thing to do is look in the Christmas story here in Matthew. Now, Matthew, this is talking about right here in this specific instance, Joseph. He wanted to get rid of Mary because she was pregnant, and, you know, I'm sure he was scared, and there was a lot of things. So God sends an angel to talk to him. And here it is, verse 20 in Matthew 1. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins. Now, this is the cool part. Here's what it's referring to. In Isaiah, there's a verse. So it says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin, this is way thousands of years before in Isaiah, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's in Isaiah 7. Isaiah 7:14, that's what that's referring to. So I think it's safe to say that God had a game plan, right? I think it's safe to say that he wasn't like, oh, I'll just whip this thing together and throw it out there. Hopefully it works out. God knew exactly what he was doing, and he was thinking of you when he did it. Yes. It's awesome. Now listen, the big question is, what does this mean for us, right? Well, it's just, let's go home. You had a good plan. All right. You know, let's go watch the Buffalo Bills. I'm sure they think they have a plan. I listened to Mark Kelso or something like that talk to John Murphy this week, and he's talking about what the Buffalo Bills game plan is. And I'm like, you can just throw that right out the window. It doesn't matter. That's not going to be a great rescue. I'm sorry. I'm just saying. I have lost. Okay, we'll get there. All right. So what does this mean for us? When we're thinking of this great rescue, this plan, what does that mean for our lives personally? As you sit here in Arcade, New York, what does that mean for you? When you go back home, what does that mean for you? What does it mean for your family members and your neighbors and your coworkers? Well, here we go. I'm going to break that down for you. Number one, we all need to be rescued. We need to be rescued. We need to. We're in desperate need to be rescued. In Romans 3:23, it says this, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now listen, when it says all, that means all, okay? And I know it's tricky, and sometimes it's a bummer to talk about sin, right? Because we all do it, and then it makes us feel yucky inside. But can I tell you, this is the bad news. Sometimes you got to talk about the bad news so that you can talk about the good news. And the bad news is that we have all fallen. Now, here it gets, you know, I'm sorry, but it gets a little worse. Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the gift. That is the rescue plan. And we need to be rescued. Amen? We need to be rescued, because if the wages of sin is death, that means what do you get for sin? You die. I don't want that. I need to be rescued from that. So here's the problem. This is how it works in my mind. Okay, this is how it works. Imagine with me, maybe close your eyes. Can we do that? Close your eyes. You're at home. You're in your favorite pajamas. The warm ones, you know, maybe the flannel ones. And you've already had your midnight snack. So your belly's full. Whatever your midnight snack is, okay? You're watching reruns of your favorite show on television. For me, it's The Office. For Pastor Jeff and Jody, it's Perry Mason. Whatever it is. The house is nice and cozy. It's warm. There's a fire going. And you have your favorite blanket with you. Snow is falling outside, and you start to drift asleep. You're sleeping. All is well. But unfortunately, while you're sleeping, your house is on fire. You have no idea. You're sleeping. You're cozy. You're warm. The house is on fire. You need to be rescued, but you don't know. See, this is what God has given us to do, is to go and tell people, your house is on fire. You need to be saved. And for many of us in this room, we have woken up and said, oh my gosh, I need to be saved. I need to get rescued from this sticky situation. That's why we have fire department. Now imagine with me for a second. And you hear these stories. People fall asleep and they don't wake up. The house is on fire. The house, wake up, oh sleeper. We want to be awoken to that. We want to realize that we need to be rescued. Our house is on fire. Now, this is a reality for many people. You know, everything's going great in their lives. It seems okay, but they just have no understanding or realization that their house is on fire and they need to be saved. They need to be rescued. We need to be rescued. And God brought forth the perfect plan through Jesus to make that accomplished. To accomplish that mission. And right there in Romans, it says, for the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes. That is the great mission. That is the great thing. Now, unfortunately, many are aware of this. Many people, I'm sure you can think of some, or maybe you're in this place on your own, but we refuse any help. We refuse to be rescued. I want to show you this video real quick, and this is from, remember the Harvey, the terrible tragedy with Harvey and the hurricanes and all those things. Now, they were doing all these rescue missions, and the news, you know, is just, it was like 24/7 coverage of what was going on down there. And this is what they captured while there was a lady about to get rescued. You ready? Now that, what he just said there, you could stop it, you can pause it, it's fine. What he just said right there, this is clearly someone who does not want to be rescued. This is clearly someone who does not want to be rescued. See, listen, God's desire is to rescue us. That is his heart. He wants to rescue us. But the truth is that there are many people who just do not want to be rescued. There are many people who just don't want to be rescued. For some reason, whatever it is, they have this thing inside of us that says they don't want to be rescued. Now listen, in a few short weeks, my wife and I are going to be giving my daughters these wonderful presents, right? We got these great presents. I don't think my kids are here, right? They're not here. This is one of them. I'm just using it now. Merry Christmas. I kind of used it. I'm breaking it in, making sure it works. But here's the thing. Our two daughters, I'm going to be giving them gifts. And it's my desire that they open it and that they keep it. That's my desire. But the truth is they don't have to. And a good father doesn't force gifts upon his kids. Here, you're taking this and you better use it. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you need to apologize to your children for that. But You know, a good father doesn't do that. And he is the perfect father. He's given us a gift of salvation through Jesus, and we have the opportunity to take that gift. We have an opportunity to open it and keep it. But he won't make us. Now, I want you to realize, though, that the woman in that boat, she was in the boat. She was saved. And there was a moment where she jumped out, out of the boat. I think this happens to us as Christians too, where we get saved, we have that radical transformation of the Lord, but things happen. You know, maybe a death in the family, or maybe hard times financially, and we abandon ship. And it makes no sense watching it, but while you're in that moment, sometimes you think it makes sense. Can I say to you this morning that it's not too late to get back in the boat? That he's the greatest rescuer of all time, and he's still there in the boat waiting to get you. He's reaching out his hand and saying, come back into the boat. And maybe you're here this morning and you've jumped out of the boat before, or you're in this moment where you need to get back in. Can I tell you, it's not too late. He's not mad at you. He loves you and just wants you to be whole. See, I don't know what the problem is when we hear people say, well, don't tell them they need to be saved because then you're not really accepting them or loving them. Listen, the truth is the church needs to do a better job of loving them even if they don't get in the boat. But if we're not there holding out our hand, and as liaisons for the Lord, then what are we doing? We're not helping anybody if they're drowning. We're not doing our job. Now, it's their opportunity. And my thing is, we have to be able to love them even when they don't want to get into the boat. It's not like we just love them and say, well, you're not going to live the way I want, so I don't love you anymore. And we can't look at them as projects, but we have to continually lift out our hand as the Lord has called us to. That's just a little side note, but that's where I'm at right now. You can get back into it. And just like that song we sang, it's like he leaves the 99 to find you. That reckless love, he is out there looking for you 24/7. Some of you have family members and you're wondering what's going on. Can I tell you, God is pursuing them. And he may use you, he may use somebody else, he may use an object, but he will get them. He will chase after them, give them that opportunity. So the second thing is already here on the screen is we need a hero. We need a hero. Every great rescue has a great hero. Think about all the movies that we watch. There's always a hero behind it. And we love the hero, don't we? We love that hero. We watch that and go, man. I mean, I always watch Superman, right? Superman's an excellent hero. There's something within us that goes, man, he's got something I don't have. That's the majority of what a hero is. That they had some kind of the strength. They had some kind of, they had the boldness to be able to do it. He's the greatest hero of all time is Jesus. Greatest hero. There will never be a better hero than Jesus. In John 3:17, I love this. For God did not send his son to the world to condemn the world. Thank you, God, right? We need to remember that. He didn't come to condemn us, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Might be saved through him, meaning that we have the opportunity, but he came to save us. That's what a hero does. A hero comes to save us. We need that. We need to be saved. We need to be rescued, but somebody needs to come and do that. So Jesus, in the great game plan, brings Jesus to save us. To save us, to be our hero. Hallelujah. I'm glad he didn't come to condemn us. Because we'd all be dead, right? We'd have no hope. We'd have no future. Now, our culture suffers from something I call, I'm sure other people do too, the hero syndrome. The hero syndrome. Do you know that there's actually people that want to be superheroes so bad that they dress up like superheroes, patrol the streets, cause issues, and then go to fix them? Like, they'll start fires. They'll do arson. Start the fire, then put it out and be like, look at me, I'm the hero. That might be extreme that those people are out there, but the truth is that all of us really want to be the hero too. All of us really want to be the hero. And we have this mentality that I don't need God. I can do it on my own. We struggle with that, even as Christians in the boat. There are times that we think we could do it without him. The truth is you can't. We can't. We're not the hero. He's the hero. That's where the focus needs to be at all times. We're just part of the process. I'm glad to be part of the process, but I'm not the hero. We need to take the responsibility for our actions, obviously. It's not like we don't do anything. But we have to remember that we've fallen short and we need him. That's the only way we can get through any of life is with our hero, with Jesus. He's a hero that we can trust. And I know how it goes. A lot of times life happens, life comes, and people feel like they can't trust anybody. And then they get to the point where they feel like they can't trust God. They can't trust the hero, the savior of the world. The hero of the world in this great plan, this great rescue. And we feel like we can't trust him. If you're here today and you feel like that, he is a hero you can trust. He's not going to leave you abandoned. He's not going to leave your side. He's a hero that you can trust. And lastly, we have hope. We have hope. Have you noticed that everybody's looking for hope? Everybody is looking for hope. It's like our whole world, even the people around you, are looking for hope. They're looking for it. They're anxious for it. That's why we love these movies. That's why we love these stories. Because there's a part of that. It's like, is there hope for me? A lot of people put hope in something. You know, for some, they put their hope in science and hope that science can answer all of their problems. And you know, it does, honestly, science does a lot, right? It solves some issues, but it doesn't solve all of them. There's a piece missing, the greatest hope of all time. Or how about a politician, right? They want to trust in a politician. This guy's going to get us there. He's going to make my life better. I can put hope in that. And then you realize you can't. And then how about a bank account? If I only had this much money, if I just had a little bit more, you know, if I could get this much in there, I got hope. A vehicle, if I had a vehicle, if I had a car to get me somewhere, then I'd be able, then, you know, that would give me some hope for the future. A spouse, that happens too, where you put all your hope in a person. Listen, don't put all your hope in your spouse. Honey, don't put your hope in me because I will fail you. Amen. Thank you, God. Put your hope in God, and then just I'm along for the ride here. Or how about this? A sports team. Oh, we want to put our hope in the Bills so bad. I'm thinking about it this today. While I was telling you, I was listening to WGR 550. I was listening to John Murphy's show. They were talking about this sports game. All these people are calling in, being like, you know, I really think this is the time that we're going to get them. This is the time, you know, we got the right pieces put together. I'm believing that we're going to believe is what they say. Don't believe in that. I'm telling you, unless you're a Patriots fan, you can believe in them if you want, but don't put your hope in a sports team. That ain't going to get you through. You're going to be in the gutter at 4 o'clock in the afternoon somewhere. That's what, jeepers, it's the truth. It's the truth. Now listen, the reason why is because we've looked at hope as being wishful thinking. That's what we've looked at hope as. It's just like, I hope it'll happen. If I believe hard enough, maybe it will. But the Bible does, that's not how the Bible talks about hope. The Bible talks about hope, it's the confident expectation. Confident expectation. It's a firm assurance. That's what you have in Jesus, our hero. That you will be rescued. You are rescued. You have that hope in Jesus, the greatest superhero of all time, in the greatest plan, the greatest rescue of all time. Now, in Romans 8, it even talks about this. It says that we were given this hope when we were saved. We're given this hope. Now, if we already have something, it goes on to say, then we don't really need it. But we have a confident expectation that he will revive us, that we will be with him forever, that we will not die from the penalty that I discussed about earlier. That is a good thing. That is a great hope that you carry within you when you say yes to Jesus and you say, I want to be rescued. You carry that hope. Maybe for me, like today, you're here and you haven't heard that in a while, and I'm just telling you that. Okay, so all of a sudden, you haven't heard it. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. Christmas should remind us. That's right. Christmas time should remind us. And the truth is we can't fully really understand what we have hope for unless we look at the death and resurrection of Jesus. We can't totally really comprehend and have excitement for what Jesus has done when he came as a baby unless we think about the cross. Manger and cross are, you have to put those together. You have to, or you're never going to really understand the great rescue. See, we have this hope in God. We have this hope in the great rescue. It's not wishful thinking. It's confident. Now, it's tempting. What happens is the enemy knows this. He knows we have hope in this. So it's tempting for us to put our hope in other things. It was tempting last year, around about a year and a month ago, for us to put it into a politician, right? That's tempting to do because you think that they are going to be able to put everything together for you. That's just a distraction. The enemy loves to distract us, to get our hope off of Jesus and onto other things, to people, the things I talked about. It's tempting to put your hope in other things. But the truth is that we really need Jesus. We need to keep that in the focal point of our hearts. Otherwise, what's the point? And that's what Christmas should do. Christmas should make us put hope back into our hearts. For us, for our loved ones, for our neighbors, for our situations. Can I say this? That a lot of times I feel like we don't have hope. And it's crazy because if God was able to put this plan together and rescue us, if he was able to accomplish that, what is the little thing you're dealing with in your life? The little thing you're dealing with and you're like, this is just too big for God. Are you kidding me? Think about it in comparison. That should give you hope. You know, if you're here today, some of us need to be rescued from some things, amen? Some of us today need to be rescued from addictions. Some of us need to be rescued from a financial situation or an abusive relationship. Can I tell you, put your hope in Christ. Put your hope in Christ through those things. He wants to rescue you from those situations. He wants to make things, listen, not everything's going to be hunky-dory as long as we live on this earth, but it's better with him. And the end game, you look at and you say, you know what, this stinks, but man, I have hope. I have hope. Not a wishful thinking. I have hope that he is going to come through. I have hope because we already know. We already know the outcome. We already know. When you know, and you're not questioning it, but sometimes we have to be reminded of it. I'm going to go in this in closing. If somebody could play something, whatever you want to do. Everybody's just looking at themselves. I don't know. I just want tonight, this morning, what I want to do, and listen, I've touched on a lot of things, and this series is, I feel like God is just going to do some awesome stuff this Christmas time. I mean, we could focus on all kinds of things, and you could focus on the chaos that's going on. You can focus on this, that, and the other. But when we put our hope and our focus on what he did when he came to us, when God came in the flesh, lived among us, came as a baby, it's just so humbling to think about. And then he comes, and the whole reason he comes is to die. I said it earlier, but I feel like somebody needs to hear it. He was thinking of you. When he put this plan together, before we read in Ephesians, before everything had happened, before the world began, he was thinking of you. Yes, it's the whole world, but he was thinking of you personally too. That's the kind of relationship God wants with us, is a relationship that is birthed intimately together. Now, before time again, he's thinking of you. That's his end goal. And today I want to make sure that I provide an opportunity. If you've never been able to get into the boat, you can get in the boat today. You could be rescued from your situation. You can be rescued from that penalty. You can be rescued if you want to. And maybe some of you have been rescued. You've been in those circumstances. You've said yes to Jesus, but for some reason you got out of the boat. I feel like God wants you to get back in the boat today. You can get back in the boat this morning. And then maybe for some of you, you're just needing some hope. You know, life is a ride. There's issues. You have, you know, dealing with anxiety. God wants to rescue you from your anxiety. He wants to give you hope from your anxiety. Some of you are worrying about your job situation and you're wrestling with worry. Some of you with fear. He wants to rescue you from those things. And he did so. By bringing Jesus here, he can do that. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is living within inside you. So I'm just going to ask, would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, we are, first of all, we are so thankful that you put together this great rescue plan. That it wasn't something you threw together and you said, well, hopefully it will work out. But Lord, somehow, some way, you dealt with all of our imperfections, and somehow, God, it looks like it was impossible, but you were able to put this plan together, and you knew it. Lord, we thank you for doing that. Maybe you just need to say thank you this morning. Lord, thank you for coming here. And Lord, it's easy for us to cartoon, like, cartoon this whole thing and think of you as just like a flannel graph in a Sunday school room. But Lord, instead, we want to just have the real realization that this was like Mission Impossible. That this was something that looked like it couldn't happen. But Lord, you sent your son successfully for us. So Lord, I just want to lift up, I know there's some people in this room, I'm sure. If you've jumped out of the boat, if you've been in the boat, but you jumped out, can I tell you, just get back in the boat. Maybe in your own words, I'm not going to ask you, I'm not going to single you out or anything like that. But in your own words right now, just say, Lord, rescue me again. Rescue me again. Lord, I need to get back in. I know there's issues. We talked about it last week. There's issues in the boat with the other people that are in the boat. Can I tell you, it's still better to be in the boat. They've been rescued. You've been rescued. Don't be fearful of just, you know, we're all work in progress in this place. But he wants us to be rescued. And for some of you, you got things going on in your lives and you just need some hope again. Maybe you've contemplated jumping out. Maybe you've contemplated, what's the point of this whole thing? The point is to give you hope. The point is for you to live for something. The point is that he died so you can live. He can take care of any kind of situation you have. He really can. He really can. I'm thinking of our sister Faye. You know, she has a hope in Christ. This lady, if you don't know her, she lived here in the back of the church and she has brain cancer. The thing that keeps Faye going is that she has hope in Christ, that she knows ultimately where she's going, that she knows that the Lord is with her. We need that afresh in our lives today. Some of you need that afresh. So Lord, would you just pour that out to them afresh, Lord? Give hope to the hopeless. Give hope to the hopeless, we ask. And maybe you're here and you've never jumped into the boat and you just want to. It's simple. Say, Lord, I need to be rescued. Lord, I need to be rescued. Will you just be Lord of my life? Lord, I want you to be driving this thing. I want you to be my rescue. I want to stay in this thing because God, with you, everything is better. Even when it's bad, it's better. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that anybody making that step today, Lord, that they would just have a relief right now. I pray that all over this room, Lord, that you would give a relief. Lord, the heaviness would be taken off. Lord, I think of your word. It says, come all ye weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you. Lord, I'm just praying once again. This Christmas time, as the hustle and bustle goes, all the issues happen. Lord, all the, maybe the, you know, the Uncle Franks and the things of that, you know, all the family that tends to tick us off during this time. Lord, would we be able to sit back and remember this great rescue? Would we be able, Lord, can we have just a fresh revelation of that again? Put that in us, Lord. As we're tempted to think about just the temporal, we're tempted just to focus on those things, Lord. Lord, would you make a mark on our hearts of what you did, of the plan you put together from before time began. And thank you for thinking of us. Thank you for thinking of our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, our family. Lord, and we're praying that they will have that wake-up moment and that they will be able to come into being rescued. We thank you that you don't force it on us, Lord, but it's our choice. Lord, work it. Have your Holy Spirit do your work, Lord, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.